section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting, one show at a time.
You are about to enter the dirty stalls of It Burns When I Pee. This podcast is for mature audiences only. The views and opinions expressed on this show are usually rude, crude, and offensive, and should not be associated with our guests and sponsors in any way. Please proceed to the first available stall and prepare for takeoff.
Welcome, everyone, to another gripping episode of It Burns When I Pee, the number one podcast for roots music, adult comedy, and interviews. The podcasting god, Blake Clayton, along with his revolving group of co-hosts, are preparing for launch. Please adjust your volume, remove all morals and values, and prepare yourself for what we like to call auditory dysentery. We go live in
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Ignition.
Mission control to podcasting god, you are clear to proceed. I repeat, you are clear to proceed.
Said he's gonna set my soul, gonna set my soul on fire. Got a whole lot of money that's ready to burn, so get those stakes up higher. There's a thousand pretty women waiting out there. They're all living the devil may care, and I'm just a devil with love to spare. So Viva Las Vegas, Viva Las Vegas. How I wish that there were more than 24 hours in the day. Even if there were 40 more, I wouldn't sleep a minute away. Oh, there's blackjack and poker and the roulette wheel. A fortune won and lost on every deal. All you need is a strong heart and a nerve of steel. Viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas with your neon flashing and your one-armed bandits crashing and all those hopes down the drain. Viva Las Vegas turning day into nighttime, turning night into daytime. If you see it once, you'll never be the same again. I'm gonna keep on the run, I'm gonna have me some fun. It cost me my very last dime. If I wind up broke, well, I'll always remember that I had a swing in time. I'm gonna give it everything I've got. Lady luck, please let the dice stay hot. Let me shoot a seven with every shot. Viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas! Viva!
Well, folks, welcome to episode 136 of It Burns When I Pee. I am your host, the podcasting god, Blake Clayton, and this is the seven-year anniversary show.
7 years. Woo-hoo!
Yes. And awesome. The only people that I could wrap up to be on the show is my lovely wife, Molly.
Oh, yeah.
Wife.
First time ever on record.
Feels good.
What? First time you've ever had a wife?
No, first time. Yeah, that's true. That's good. And
it's going to be full of those tonight, I'm sure.
What, wife jokes?
Yeah.
My wife.
My wife. And I have across from me the handsome debonair, Jason.
Thank you very much. Yes, good to be here.
It's a Molly sandwich. Oh.
Let's cut recording right now and get down to that.
Let's get down to business. The business I've given
you.
Let's
build a bridge.
Woot, woot.
So we're celebrating the 7th anniversary of the show. We're celebrating me and Miles' nuptials. We're celebrating Jason being here.
Woo!
And we are celebrating Memorial Day. I had red, white, and blue ice cream. And I went camping.
Yep.
What were the flavors represented by red, white, and blue?
Raspberry, cherry, and white. That's the flavor of that one. It was white.
White wasn't vanilla?
Yeah, it
just
wasn't.
Tasted white.
It's gonna be like a legal thing where they have to call. They cannot call it vanilla.
Right.
The next best thing is just calling it white.
Yeah. I was expecting coconut almost.
Ugh.
So Molly, why don't you go ahead and tell the folks what we have going on this evening on this extravaganza that Billy and Angel are listening to?
This extravaganza, the 7-year anniversary. We are going to talk about Blake's bachelor party. We also have a little bit of fan feedback and. We're going to talk about what? Jason for the movies?
That's what we're going to call
it. Is that a typo?
No, that's not a typo. It's supposed to sound not good.
Oh, okay. Jason.
We did it.
Jason for the movies. We're also going to talk about a dinner theater murder mystery we attended. Gambling Blake versus Molly to sex with. What? We are not.
not so you obviously went over the show notes before.
Right. Yeah, the sex with cowboy boots, and we got
photos
of
that.
We're gonna play. We better not have photos, and we're gonna play Factor Crap Vegas edition.
And we just got done hearing Elvis Presley with "Viva Las Vegas."
Who's this now?
To Elvis Presley. He did a lot of
Costello. I think you mean.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Elvis Costello. No, Presley. And he was very famous in Las Vegas.
He also did a lot of movies.
I'm not familiar.
Yeah.
No?
You know what else I'm not familiar with is I didn't make it out to Vegas. I am
cheap bastard. Cheap bastard.
I'm a bit of a cheap bastard. I'm very poor. Yeah.
You're a new entrepreneur. We understand.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I'm very poor, so I did not make it out to Vegas. So that means I did not make it to your bachelor party. If it was anything at all like the previous bachelor party story, we'll be here for another 4 hours. But I'm okay with that.
Well, I'll tell you, it's not in any way, shape, or form going to be that long. So here's, went to Vegas, was all excited, going to have a bachelor party with some of my friends.
That's how you do it. That's how you do it, right?
Go to Vegas.
If the hangover's taught us anything.
Right. I'm like, oh, Molly, we're not going to come in until 6 in the morning. And we're gonna steal somebody's tiger.
Bunch of stuff's gonna happen.
Right.
Things are gonna be different.
I'm gonna do a whole show just on my bachelor party.
I'm gonna meet White Doug and Black Doug.
Right. So originally my friend Jack set us up with this thing where for $3 a head we get a limo ride to the strip club, half off food, half off bottle service, and free admission. For $3.
You can't go wrong.
No.
There's never been a bad purchase for $3.
Right. So I'm like, cool, so it's me and Shannon, Molly's dad, Molly's brother, and Molly's brother-in-law, who is now known as Big Daddy.
Oh, boy. We're going to get to why?
We're going to get to why.
Yeah.
That's why I like having you as a co-host. You pay attention. I was like, they're like, well, what time do you want the limo to come get you? And I'm like, oh, 10 o'clock, because I figured we're going to have to really, party doesn't get started in Vegas.
You don't want to be the lame ass at 7:15 rolling up somewhere.
So then as time grew near, everybody's like, well, what are we doing about dinner? I'm like, well, we're getting half off at the club, steaks and stuff. I was like, and then I realized, well, they're not going to be eating until like 11.
Mm.
And there were some people that were hungry at like 7.
And not just hungry for poontang.
Right. Have not just hungry for titties.
Teenay.
So we ended up quickly making reservations for the same place that Molly was having her bachelorette party.
Knowingly?
Yes.
Well, yeah. And mine had already been planned for a week. I had had reservations for a week at this restaurant.
Which was unnecessary because I just walked up there and said, hey, can I get a table? And they sat us right like... there's one table between us.
One table between us, yeah.
So a lot of good that did, huh? All that planning.
It was pretty awkward,
right.
That first part of it. Mm-hmm. And then the stretched limo came, or it was a stretched Hummer.
Nice.
Came to pick up the guys.
$3 a pop.
Yeah, there's 5 of us in this big, huge. And my buddy Shannon had his Iron Maiden shirt on. So the guy, the limo driver, who had obviously spent time in jail at some point or another in his life, decided, well, he needs to blare metal music in the back of the Hummer while we're driving to
the strip
club. I
feel like the guy, if he looks like he was in prison, no matter what shirts are being worn in the vehicle, right. Like he's going to come up with an excuse to play metal.
right. So
we could all been wearing Justin Bieber.
Right, and so
you like metal, huh? not necessarily.
You know what? It had these like round lights with like
strobes,
you know,
and stuff.
You know, like when
what?
You put your hand on the ball, like electricity.
Yeah. Oh, did it really?
Yeah, and like. And, you know, her dad was in the back there with us. And, you know, there's all this room, and we're just all kind of spread out nowhere near each other. And her brother, Big Daddy, was, you know, was sitting kind of up toward the front. And the limo driver's, like, yelling back to him, and he's yelling back to him because the music's up so loud. So we get to this place. It's called Treasures.
The strip club.
Yes.
Okay.
Pull up in a stretched Hummer. You know, we're like, big pimping, you know.
Balling, straight balling.
We come out. They search us, like they do the wand thing to us and everything. Mm-hmm. Security
makes
does.
You look even more badass.
Yeah, we're like, yeah. We get in there. It's all dark, and they're like talking into their little earpieces, like you know, like they're guarding the president. They're like, oh yes, we'll seat you here. You know.
Were you guys walking in slow motion too? You should have been.
Yeah, I think it was slow motion just because we were scared.
Okay.
Because it became very apparent very quickly that this was no Peoria strip club. I mean, it was high end.
They're not messing around in there.
It was high end. So they open the doors, and there's like 20 girls sitting right at the door, just like all sitting around like these lounges and stuff, you know?
Like
right,
facing the door?
Facing
so
the door.
So when you walk in, they're looking right
yeah,
at you.
Yeah, and like they go to see you, and then they just start grabbing a hold of you.
I like this.
And Big Daddy got one, grabbed a hold of him, and one tried to grab a hold of me, but I instantly was not into her, so I was trying to ignore her, and I was like, come on, ladies, let us sit down. And
so she wasn't an Asian girl.
No, she was Asian.
Oh, she was? You yes. weren't interested in the Asian?
Yes.
Have you turned a leaf?
No, we'll get into this okay. more, but I just felt like...
You know what? It is going to be a four-hour...
I just know if you, yeah. I just felt like I wanted to sit down. You know, if
let me get settled.
Yeah, let me.
And
let
then you're sideways.
Let me look at my surroundings. I'm from 1,400 miles away. Let me get it together here. So we sit down and order a round of drinks. And her brother Matt's like, "Oh, I'll get the first round." We're like, "Oh, no, you don't have to do that." He's like, "Yeah." So everybody orders. There was four beers, and a Red Bull were ordered. And the bartender waitress lady comes back with the beers, and he stands up and gets his wallet out. And he's like, how much do I owe you? She's like, $56. And everybody went, whoa. And then I felt bad for him paying, you know, for one round of drinks, $56. That's
he should have just said, no.
Right.
That's
everybody
wrong.
Get your wallet out.
I don't understand. You know, just because his Red Bull is blue does not mean it should be that expensive. So my brother-in-law, Big Daddy, this girl was on his arm as soon as he walked in the door, sat down. She was already sitting on his lap, and that's how she instantly came up with the name Big Daddy. And they were talking, and you know, we were all kind of, I was scurrying away the Asian with fake eyelashes on.
Nothing wrong with that.
And we get the drinks that are $12,000. And so then she gives me a dance. She comes up and she climbs on top of me. She's like, yes. Big Daddy got you, you know, but you a dance. And I'm like, okay. She was Asian, like
off the boat Asian?
She was like Asian Filipino. Like she was
that's
she was
good, that's a good kind.
She was one of those ones that could depending on the story, she could swing either way.
Okay.
And so she's dancing for me and like I instantly put my hands to my side.
Because you're in the Peoria frame of mind.
Peoria frame of mind, hands to the side. Hands to the side. And she took my hands and proceeded to put them right on her buttocks.
Wait, hold on a second.
Yes.
No, seriously, hold on to it.
And I felt awkward, and I started to let go. Then I was like, why would I let go?
I would never disrespect a woman.
Right. And so I was like, oh, that's not. I'm gonna get in trouble. And we just got here because it was a high end place. You know, like the stage was huge, and it was all like, it was like a Broadway theater of. Like Phantom of the Opera thing. It had stairwells and a big screen.
Just being met by all those women would be wonderful. It really sets the tone, I think.
Right. And so then I put my hands back down, and she's like, I said, oh, I'm from Illinois. We're not supposed, we aren't allowed to touch strippers. And she turned around to where her back was facing my chest.
Yes.
And she grabbed my hands and she put them on her breasts. And she said, "You in Vegas now, baby?" And I was like,
"You touched strippers' boobs?"
Oh yeah, yeah, I did.
That's just, all right. My hand was down some guy's jock.
Yeah. So then, you know, she's like, you know, she was asking me a bunch of questions, and me and Shannon, when we go to strip clubs, we like to interview the ladies.
Which makes complete sense.
Meanwhile, there's not a whole bunch of people. There's like four or five guys there, but not a whole bunch of people. So then I get my dance, and then I can't tell you what happens next because...
Why not?
Penetration?
No, because I'm trying to protect certain people in the party.
I'm cool.
Oh, hell no.
So one disappeared. I don't know where he went. I don't know how long he was gone, and I don't know how much he spent. But... So then we went to, you know, they have little side stages where girls come up and dance to the songs. And even went up there, there was a girl from Wisconsin. We met her, and she had huge breasts. And Molly's dad.
Did you get to touch them?
Molly's dad loves the breasts. Loves them.
Were there a lot of fake boobs?
It was really dark. You couldn't really tell if they were fake or not. Yes, there probably were. But this girl from Wisconsin, they were not fake. They were born. Because your dad said he does not like fake boobs.
Mm-hmm.
Which is false because the last time we went to a strip club, that girl's boobs were so fake, I don't even know what to do. But I didn't have the heart to tell him. So,
well, just because he doesn't necessarily like fake boobs doesn't mean that he's not going to not touch them. Oh, excuse me, those are not correct. Those are not real. I'm not going to touch them.
So, you know, we were kind of balling there for a few, you know, like a half hour, 45 minutes. And then a whole bunch of people started coming in. And then I noticed that no strippers were coming anywhere near us. And so then we all started questioning why, because it's not like we weren't spending money, you know. And one of the girls, you know, "Are you guys getting bottle service?" And I was like, "No, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we had half off bottle service, but why are you going to pay $200 for a bottle of something you can get like for $50? And so then
half off, it was $200.
Oh, easily it was, yeah.
Well, what do you get for bottle service?
You get a bottle.
Of like
in a bucket with ice and girls just sitting on your lap for a long time.
They hang out, yeah.
Yeah, they hang out. So we weren't doing that. And so then the management, you could see that they were telling certain girls to go to certain, you know, tables. So then instantly, you know, and the only one that came back over was this Asian girl.
The same Asian girl.
She said, "You here to party?" And I'm like, "Yeah, Mr. Chow, I am." And she's like, and she saw my shirt, have one of those bachelor shirts on. She's like, "Oh, you get married in Vegas." And I'm like, "Yeah." She's like, "You want to dance?" I said, "No." And it's because I watched her dance on the satellite stage, and she didn't put any effort into it at all. She just kind of swayed from back to side to back. And then we were sitting there, and I went to give her my dollar. You know, usually they come and they, you know, they put their boobs in your face, yep, or they put their wrap their legs around your shoulders or something. Right. She just leaned over the side and just went like this, like shaking her hip back and forth, and then put her G-string out. So it's kind of bogus.
Yeah.
So once these people started coming and having all this bottle service, we didn't see any of the girls ever again. And so we left.
But why do you think that is, though? Because you didn't get bottle
service?
Because
we didn't get bottle service. Yep. Because all those guys had bottles. They had bottles at their tables.
I feel like strippers aren't known for being smart, necessarily. But I feel like they're doing a math. I feel like there's a stripper math. They can read you as soon as you come in. And then I feel like there's like, okay, I'm not going to mess with that guy. Oh, that guy's got some money. Do you think they read Big Daddy and they went right over to him? And like he's got a fat stack of Benjamins in the back pocket?
No, I think that there weren't that many people there. And they had been sitting around waiting for people to show up. And they made a little bit of money. And then when these groups with the bottle service came in, their management told them to go over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but Big Daddy had a great time. He always has a great time when we go to strip clubs. He is the best to go to a strip club with. He is hilarious.
What, is this only the second time
went with him? Yeah, it's only the second time I ever went with him, but he's the best to go to a strip club with. So, and then me and your father, your brother Matt, wanted to buy your dad a lap dance. And your dad said, "No, no, no." And then he said, "Give it to Blake." Because Matt's like, "I already paid for it." And he's like, "No, no, give it to Blake." Ugh! The girl had stinky breath. She was not attractive.
Really?
And it was
brutal. Are there really unattractive strippers?
Yes, there are.
In Vegas, there's unattractive
there
strippers?
There were unattractive strippers in Vegas.
Wow.
Yes.
Hmm. This you got was the B team, huh?
I think she was on the C team.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. She was, yeah. So I was in bed in my hotel at the Luxor at 11:30. Then I got a nasty text message from my fiance telling me to get my ass down there, that I was rude because everybody was down there at the bar drinking, and then get my ass down there because it was rude of me not to.
And so you did.
I went down there, and then she wasn't there.
Well, she had her hand on the jock.
Don't do that.
Oh.
Don't do that.
Really? Well, then don't be an ass.
I'm not.
Really? You're being an ass. First off, it was not a rude text message. And second off, I was in the lobby getting, quit winking at
when
me. That pisses me off. And then I was meeting Dawn because she had just gotten there and she was late. So that's why I was not where you said I thought, bleh.
Huh. When you get a text message that says, hey, come down. And I'm like, no, I'm just going to stay up here. And then the next text message says, ugh. That's a mean text message. Ugh is never
yeah.
good.
Yeah,
I can't wait till I get married.
Get your ass down here text message.
That's why I dream of marriage.
So after all, it was 11:30. I commend the people that went with me. It was a fun time. But I did not plan it out well, and the strip club is way like above like Peoria strip club.
How many people can say though that they had a bachelor party in Vegas at a strip club though? I mean, I'm sure there's a plenty of people out there, but not they're the minority,
right?
Right. So
yeah.
You can say that you did that.
Yeah, and I
mark it off your bucket list.
Yeah, my next wedding though, I'll tell you, it's a whole different story. I'm going to plan that thing months in advance. But, yeah, that was my...
Great story.
Thanks. Thanks.
Boy.
Do you have any questions about it? Do we have enough time for maybe four or five questions?
You got there around 10, 10:30?
Yeah. Well, no, they eventually... about 9:30. They picked us up at 9. I moved it up because people told me to move it up.
Okay, so you got there about 9:30.
Yeah.
And you were back in your bed at 11:30.
Yep.
Wow. Okay. Now, that's really the... I don't think I had any other questions. There are no other questions that need to be asked at that point.
It's like, would you rather? I'm closing the door for questions.
Yeah, please do. I'm sorry.
That's all right. So, I've got a couple of voicemails. We had another one. I couldn't decipher it for nothing. And
fan feedback.
What'd I say? Voicemails? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we... Sometimes we have to forge our own.
Right, but this time it was legit.
We have legitimate fan feedback. This is excellent.
So, as many of you know, I'm a big fan of Voxer. It's an app that you use for your phone. It's kind of like walkie-talkies. And the famous Brett Conlin was starting off his tour that night that we were getting married. And here is a Voxer. I had Voxer with him a couple times, but here, hopefully we can play this. Hold on.
Fuck, that was the quickest response ever. It's your fucking wedding night. You should probably be fucking your wife and not talking to us on Voxer. Goodbye.
He's not wrong.
So that's what I did.
Love me some Mark Conlin.
We didn't have sex. She wouldn't. We got to Vegas and she would not have sex with me until we were married.
What? That's like
that
is the place to be morally bankrupt. Why did you choose not to do that?
To be honest, I didn't really plan it. I was just really, really tired.
Okay.
Wow.
I remember that.
I'm really, really tired. But go ahead and ask her another question. I'm going to load up this other voicemail thing I got.
So you waited until the actual wedding night.
Right, and I didn't hear any complaints. So
and we'll have a link to the video of the wedding night activities.
Right. Yes.
On the show notes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of blurry.
Might be a little blurry.
That's kind of blurry because it was moving so fast. But yeah, definitely. It's live radio. You gotta give me a second.
Yeah, we'll give you a second.
Well, why don't you ask her any questions about her bachelorette party? If you could kind of just...
Did you really have a hand on a jock? And if so, how'd that come to be?
I did. Yes. We had dinner and then we got a limo ride to,
Okay. Quiet.
Oh, very nice.
Hold on.
Message.
That wasn't it.
Huh.
Hold on.
We have a lot of cleaning up and editing.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. Here it is.
There's a
What's happening? What's going on here?
I don't know.
That's not fan feedback, was it?
Yeah, it could have been. I don't know who that was. I don't know what they were saying. All I heard was... So anyway, you had your hands in some guy's... You had it on his penis? Nuh-uh. Hey, by the way, the girls in Vegas, they don't allow you to... they don't take off their underwear.
You can touch them, but just... Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but like the world is a Peoria, take off underwear, but you can't touch them. So.
There's got to be a
Which head. One would you, which one, if you had your way, which one would it be? Which underwear and no touch or touch and underwear?
If I had my druthers about me, I would say touch.
Yeah, me too.
I would say that because there's such skimpy garments out there
right.
that I have a shred of imagination that the internet has not destroyed in my brain that I can use that.
Right.
So.
Definitely.
So real quickly, how did you come about touching a penis?
I had a dance bought for me, and he took me over to the corner, and he did his dance, and he grabs your hands, and he puts them down his pants.
Oh, shit. So you touched another man's penis.
I don't think it was his penis. It was like the inside of his thigh area.
It was a Pringles can. He just kept it in there when he dances. I really work up a strong hunger when I'm dancing for women.
Yeah. Yep.
Speaking of strong hunger, I'm hungry for a song.
Oh, well, hey, I got a song for you. Let's listen to Monkey Head by Hootin' Hollers.
If this is your first episode of IBWIP, welcome. If it is not, then congratulations. You are the first repeat listener.
On my head. I got a monkey on my head. Look at us. We finally found a reason to play this ridiculous song. Folks, I want to take a few minutes to tell you about our new sponsor, BarkBox.com. Your dog is your best friend and deserves a treat once in a while, right? BarkBox.com is the place to go to get that treat. Once a month, they send your pup a box filled with snacks, toys, and more. Now, we aren't talking about cheap, unsafe, China-produced crap here. This stuff is top-notch, 100% healthy, American-made products. No raw hides or formaldehyde, and no stuff that will harm your dog. You can subscribe for 1 month, 3 months, or even 6 months. Use promo code IBWIP and get $5 off your order. Don't have a dog? Well, first off, that's un-American. But if you don't, you can send a BarkBox subscription as a gift to someone who does. And best of all, 10% of all revenue of BarkBox.com goes to rescues and shelters all over the United States. Again, that's BarkBox.com. Use promo code IBWIP. You get $5 off your order. Send us confirmation of your order to Blake at IBWIP.com, and we will even throw in a brand new IBWIP koozie for free. Holy crap, you can't ask for more. Do something great for your dog today. They can't order themselves because they don't have any thumbs. Go to BarkBox.com today and use promo code IBWIP for $5 off.
Show me, say, yeah, boy, let's get it in today. Take a snail and put it in your skin and then save it for your coffin, cause it's what you'll be heading for. And I don't wanna do it anymore, but I gotta, cause I'm shaking and I'm sweating, laying on the floor. The devil got me in his grave, and he don't want me to quit. I got arrested down in Baltimore because I started falling for the feeling that we're following. I hit that bang. And spoon in my console, gram in my sock, holding both on my person as I switch that lane. Seen the lights flash on from the sheriff car behind me, telling me to pull it over, and I know that I'm fucked. My license is suspended, I'm about to be arrested. Dope sick while I'm talking to the judge, telling him the devil got me in his grave, and he don't want me to quit. Long hard road to hell and back, and I sold my soul for a heroin cap, a silver spoon and a brand new bed. The devil got me tied inside his cemetery, wonder why you didn't get to hell. Well, wonder why you wouldn't just go on and get to cooking. Ain't looking, need to tie off, use my belt. The devil got me in his grip, and he don't want me to quit. I said the devil got me in his grip, and he don't want me to quit.
Welcome back, friends. That was The Grip of the Devil by Josh Morningstar. Is he Native American by chance?
I don't know.
Morningstar seems like that's a weapon, I think, a medieval weapon, and also a very Native American sounding name. He is. He has to be.
Well, I'll ask him. We'll have him on the show.
Good. Do it.
Do that.
First question out of the way.
Yeah, good. First question. People want to know.
I'm doing the interview for you.
So this is a new segment. We're trying. You know, we're always trying new stuff.
Want to
here.
Throw it out there, see what sticks.
Yep. So this is called Jason for the Movies. Jason.
Thank you very much.
Give us your review.
I want to do. I know it's very, it's kind of hacky, and a lot of people do it, kind of cliched. A lot of movie reviews out there, but I love movies. I watch movies pretty regularly. I go to the movies. I'd like to review some movies. I want to get it out there what I think. So this week I am reviewing X-Men: Days of Future Past, and this is the latest installation of the X-Men franchise, which now has 7 films. Believe it or not, can you name 7. All? Can you name them all?
X-Men Avengers.
That's one.
Wolverine guy.
That's the set. Yep, that's two.
X-Men prequel mm-hmm. Training Days.
Yep, that's right. And then it's 4 through 7.
These Roman numerals. We watched one the other night, didn't we?
We did, but I don't have any idea.
It was like the fifth one.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah, I thought it was the first one, but it was like the fifth one. I don't know.
Huh. Well, this film marks the return of critical favorite Bryan Singer to the director's chair. He did the first two X-Men movies, which are largely considered to be the best. I think he's a great director. But this film does something that the previous films did not. It incorporated time travel. However, this movie is not at all what I expected, based on all the articles I've read and
promo video.
All the promos and the trailers on TV and stuff. But it starts off normally enough. Marty, a teenager, finds himself accidentally time-traveling into the past.
Well, hold on.
Please, hold on a second.
Molly,
he goes
this
back.
This is his bit. He gets real mad if...
Yeah, I am
he worked real hard
steaming.
On this.
He accidentally time-travels back to the past where he meets his parents who were young. He has to create a romance between them so that he can be born in the future. And his friend, Dr. Brown, who invented the time machine in the future, is also his ally in the past. And together they must find a way to send him back to the future.
Molly, you were going to say something, right? Like, this doesn't seem
like, right.
It doesn't seem like the right movie he's talking about.
I just wanted to make sure you weren't going to spoil it for anybody that wants to go listen. Watch.
No spoilers. This is just my quick review.
Jason, I really don't think this is the right. I don't think this is X-Men anything. It sounds like a different
movie.
Where's
the blue guy and Wolverine?
You know what? I felt the same way. I know exactly what you're talking about. But I tell you what this story does, though. It does a great job of incorporating past events into what was set up in the present time. The plot was intricate, and the dialogue was sharp and witty. At several points in the story, Marty seemingly is credited. What's that?
Nothing.
Marty is seemingly credited with such popular phenomenon like skateboarding and rock and roll. So it's many satisfying laughs in the movie.
I haven't seen the new movie. I haven't seen
it. I love the X-Men. You should see it.
I haven't seen it yet, but it sounds a lot like a different movie. Molly, doesn't it sound like a different movie? I don't think he's talking about X-Men.
Is the blue girl in there at all?
All the trailers are so misleading because I felt the same thing. I was like, this is a great PG family movie.
Method Man or whatever his name is?
The Wu-Tang Clan?
Meteor Man or what?
M-E-T-H-O-D Man?
Yeah, is Wolverine... You haven't talked about Wolverine at all. I think he's in this one.
He was on all the trailers. There's so much that you see, but like, they'll put trailers out there and stuff, and then a lot happens between that and the editing. A lot of stuff falls on the editing room floor, as they say, and then you see a final product. And sometimes you're watching a trailer, and you're like, I don't remember seeing that in the movie. That happened a lot in this film.
Who was the main character?
Marty McFly.
Oh, Marty McFly.
I will say that I was alarmed by the lack of superheroes and mutants in this movie, but I do give it 2 thumbs up.
Did Marty maybe wear a costume?
No, I mean, he had like a vest on a lot of the show, and I was like, maybe this vest like transforms him into something, but it didn't. And he was very funny, very likable character. There were time travel elements. That was like the only thing from the previews that I felt made it into the movie. But it was still a good show. I really liked it.
Doesn't sound like any X-Men movies.
No,
it is a departure. Yes, from previous X-Men movies. I agree.
I And I thought when you said the director's name, it sounded odd. Do you think this sounds like? I mean, I don't think
this sounds a lot like an older movie.
Yeah, like Back to the Future.
I don't know.
Was it in the movie theater?
Where did you see this movie at?
Okay. Cards on the table. I missed the show. I missed the movie. I went to IMDb and I typed in future into the search engine there, and this is the plot that came up.
You could just tell us you missed it.
No, I was given a responsibility. It may have been Back to the Future. I don't know.
One, two, or three.
It's hard to say.
Was there cowboys involved?
No.
It was probably one then.
It was a good show. If in fact this is Back to the Future, I still give it 2 thumbs up.
2 what?
2 thumbs up.
Thumbs? I mean thumbs? What are 2 thumbs? What are thumbs?
Everyone's got their own grading system. Like 4 stars. Like
2 hacks.
I think Blake gives us 4 hacks. Coughs, which is excellent. That's like top. You can't get better than that. That's like Godfather 2 territory.
Right. Huh.
Well, Jason, thank you. We'll probably give you another shot, like in a couple of shows and a couple episodes.
I'm really sorry,
you
guys.
Could try it again.
You tried. You're under a lot of stress right now.
I'm really sorry. I screwed it up, guys.
Well, no, it's all right. I mean, just next time, tell us.
I thought I could just get it off the internet and you wouldn't know.
Are you think we're stupid?
No, I just.
We've had a lot on our plate. You're like, you thought since we had a lot on our plate, you would probably just like, we would overlook it.
Go.
I don't know, Blake. Maybe this should be the end of it.
No, just give. Give me next time. I promise I'll do better.
Okay, we'll give you one more shot.
No, I don't think so.
Since when have you become executive producer?
Well, now. I mean, for Pete's sake, Back to the Future, X-Men. Come on.
He's his hair's gotten really long. He's not.
I'm losing a lot of. It's taking up most of my brain. The hair's growing in too.
At least it's not a tumor on your head if you're a swimmer. Oh, what do we got next, Molly?
Oh, well.
He seems embarrassed. We should continue.
Well, he should be, to be quite honest. That's horrible.
Whoops.
My bad.
Well, something that, you know, we did while we were out in Vegas, we went and saw a dinner theater. Movie. God damn it. Dinner theater murder mystery.
What was it called?
It was called Marriage Can Be Murder. I thought it was fitting.
Seems like maybe not. Okay, maybe I thought it was not very fitting, though. No, maybe the furthest away from fitting.
Yeah.
It was quite fitting, okay. Actually.
And it was at the D, which is a new hotel on Fremont Street. Nice. Which Molly loved Fremont Street.
I hated Fremont Street.
Fremont is the covered old strip, right?
Right. The okay. Original strip. That's basically just like...
The drug dealer's den?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and street performers and
homeless,
a lot of buskers.
Well,
yeah, that's buskers.
What pissed me off the most was there was right in front of the D, there was this little boy who was dressed up like Michael Jackson, and he was doing a great job. He was awesome. He was amazing.
How old do you think he was?
Seven.
Six, seven, you know, he was up on his toes. He was doing everything, and he was great. And he earned every dollar, $3, whatever those people were given. We walked into the D at 5 o'clock. He was still doing it at
8:30.
When you have a passion,
9:30.
Time knows no bounds.
He's 6 years old.
Was there like a dude sitting back in the shadows, yes, just collecting them? Oh, there was
the dude and the mom and the dude and the little sister.
That's so bizarre.
It's just.
They made him carry a bucket around.
Yeah, he carried a bucket, bucket.
Just sitting back there while your kid makes you money. Which Michael Jackson era are we talking? Like
the '80s,
Thriller or Bad?
Yeah.
There's a dramatic change
in appearance.
It was
Thriller.
Yeah, he was doing. Yeah, amazing. Yeah.
They had the music playing, and he was like singing
and dancing.
And dancing.
And
just dancing.
Dancing and singing.
Oh man, that'd be awesome.
He was like.
Up on his toes, doing the little moonwalk.
Shamon!
Chabon.
So anyway, the That's dinner awesome. Theater.
Yeah.
What, it was outside the place called the D?
It was in the D.
It was in the D. It was in the theater.
Yep.
That's not. That's it's poorly named, right?
It's after Detroit.
Okay, but when you think of D, what do you think?
Boobs.
Drop the D.
Oh, I think boobs. I think double D's, which I guess you'd have to put two D's.
I think
D's.
Of a shit.
Okay.
Oh, I don't think of shit.
So. I think of dick.
Oh.
Like I dropped the D on her. No? Nobody?
Gave her the big D.
I thought you were just talking like
dropping in my case, the, you know, correctly proportioned size D. Fair to Midland at best D.
Do you ever think of, you ever call it a deuce? Dropping a deuce?
Trim the pubic hair to make it look bigger D.
Oh, we did that for him. This.
That's on the third segment. Thank you very much.
Oh, wow. Is it?
You'd submit there. So anyway, you want to tell about, describe it, or you want me to describe it? Or
you
what?
Go ahead and describe it, Danny. You're the best at telling 4-hour stories.
Marriage is murder.
So it's one of those things where it's the audience participation, and you don't know, like you could be in line talking to somebody that's in the cast, but you don't know. And you go and you fill out, you know, and basically what you're doing is you're trying to keep track of the storyline that they're having, you know, a lot of people are interacting in the show and the crowd, and you're trying to figure out who the murderer is.
So you're in line to get in. You're sitting at tables, and there's uh-huh. a stage, or yes, you're sitting amongst them, or how is it?
There's tables, but they didn't use the stage very often. It was very interactive.
They were down in the guts there.
Yeah, and we don't want to give it away for anyone.
For all the Marriage is Murder fans right. out there.
It had nothing to do with marriage.
No, it didn't.
Not at all. Not
that was kind of weird.
Nothing about it had to do with marriage. Shannon... he was with us. He was. They stood him up and talked to him. Him and Big Daddy ended up being like pallbearers. So when somebody died, they had stuff they had to do. And I don't know how I got into the show. I don't know how I became part of the show. Do you remember like how?
Oh, because they asked if anybody was celebrating anything, and so they came and talked to us. And, you know,
oh, yeah.
You have a natural magnetism, though, that I think most people are drawn to. Mm. Case in point, you're about to say something snide, but you married him.
No, I was going to agree with you.
Okay.
So we were sitting at the table that we were sitting at had Molly's mother and father, my now in-laws, and our friends Tom and Dawn. And somehow they... I don't know how it happened, but supposedly I was supposed to dance like a Chippendale.
Yeah.
Hmm.
It's muscle I don't memory for you.
So I got up and I was dancing. No, I was just supposed to dance, and I was dancing, and I was, you know, and they're like, woo, you know, and so
he took his shirt off.
I took my shirt off and I threw it like at people at a different random table, and I kept dancing.
He just threw his clothes.
Well, when you spend as much time in the gym as you do, you're looking for any excuse to take your clothes off.
Yeah. And then the lady who was like the MC, Mimi,
master of ceremonies.
Yes, she she told me to come over to this table and dance with these two old ladies. So I got up and they put a dollar bill like in my pants. And I went back to my table, got my shirt back, went back to my table, and didn't think anything of it. Everybody got a good laugh. I had fun. It was a good time.
Just completely erased it from your memory. Didn't think of it.
But at the end of it, they had two awards. They had the
best
person...
best nipples.
The person who... you know, because they had cards, and at the end of it, you submitted to see if you could... Not only figure out who did it, but why they did it.
Okay.
And but they also had an award for best supporting actor or actress in a non-supporting role. Mm-hmm. And they were naming off people that had been in the show that night. And I didn't.
They had pallbearers. They had people that were doing music. They had a nurse. They had to pronounce the person dead. There were a lot of people interacting. Yeah.
And then they kept reading the list, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that was funny. And then they were like, and Blake, you're the winner. And I was like, okay, yay. You know, and then they come over with a trophy and two tickets to, like, a comedy show.
Yes.
And they took their picture, and they put it on their Facebook page. And then they announced who won, and it was Amy, Shannon's wife, the smart one of the group.
She picked the right killer and the right motive.
Yeah, and so she got a plaque, and I got a trophy.
You guys walked out there.
We did.
Nice.
So it was really cool. I had a good time. I think it was one of the finer things we did.
I mean, do you think it was your nipples, though, that put you over the top?
No, I think it was my tattoos.
Okay.
Yeah, because most Chippendale guys have tattoos.
You're right.
And I just have, like Molly said, you said it more so than Molly, but I just have this thing that draws people into my...
They have no choice, but they gravitate towards you.
Because Molly has said this many times. I'm hilarious and I'm great to be around for about a day.
No
and
more.
And after that,
Absolutely no more than that.
Now she can't stand me.
And you're even wearing the right color shirt. Like, that, you're wearing a yellow shirt right now, which just kind of represents the sun. And we are all gravitating towards the sun.
Yep.
It's just, there's no coincidence you're wearing that shirt today. Yeah.
Oh, for Pete's sake. Yeah. How far up his ass are you?
I like the way you think.
I am at the bottom, like, right where the small intestine meets the stomach.
Is that where
I'm
you're at?
I'm way up there.
Wow. How's it smell?
It's not, you would think bad. You would be right.
I did, you know, we did go camping this weekend, so our food intake was not the healthiest.
A lot of nuts and berries.
We had Subway.
We had Subway twice, and we had a pizza delivered to our campsite.
Yeah. Yeah. That was almost embarrassing.
It is funny. My mom goes camping a lot now, but they bought this, like, $35,000 camper, and it's just like, it's nicer than my house. So, like, who's roughing it, really?
Right, right.
Right.
Freaking Bear Grylls over here.
Well, speaking of roughing it, we're going to play a tune.
Oh, we're already going to play more music.
And this song is off Matt Woods' new record, and it's called Drinking to Forget. We're going to come back, talk about Molly's gambling problem, and we're going to play Factor Crap, Vegas style. So we'll be right back, folks. Oh. Sorry.
Well, Blake is officially off the market again, ladies. Jason, however, will be at the market at 6:15 this evening, picking up some scrubbing bubbles.
I'm drinking to forget how drunk I got last night. Slept it off in the driveway, woke up staring down headlights, moving mountains, swallowing oceans for the bragging rights. I'm drinking to forget how drunk I got last night. My memory ain't so good as it was 10 beers ago. It's funny how time turns places and people into postcards and ghosts. Wedding bells ring somewhere without a bride in sight. She's drinking to forget how drunk she got last night. This is the last time I wanna hear myself say I had every intention to stay away and bottoms up till I fall down, stumble back onto my side of town on a new night to an old familiar place. Drunk I got last night, surrounded by fellow defeatists, liars and Christmas lights. Now some of these boys want trouble, but I ain't come here to fight. I'm just drinking to forget how drunk I got last night. Now we're drinking to forget how drunk we got last night. At the parking lot, part of your backyard, till the early morning light. Got the rest of our lives to wonder if how we're living right now is right. We're just drinking to forget how drunk we got last night. You're just drinking to forget how drunk you got last night. And I'm just drinking to forget
Hey, folks, Blake here. Hey, we love interacting with our fans, and there's tons of ways to get a hold of us. The easiest way is sending us an email at blake@ibwip.com. If you're still big into Facebook, then go search us at IBWIP. You can send us messages on there, or you can even post on our page. We also have a dial-in number, 203-429-4711. Give us a call and leave us a voicemail. We love playing voicemails on the show as well. If you're one of those Twitter addicts, follow us at IBWIPCOM. Finally, we are also on Instagram and Vine. Follow us at IBWIP on both. Take a few minutes and send us your questions, comments, and general complaints. We can't wait to hear from you. That song gives Shannon Johnson a boner. That is Molly Jean, the one-man woo band.
Boner!
Bonerific. And that goes out to Shannon and my main buddy, the guy that I ask questions about.
You want to get to know him.
Right.
So you probe his innards.
It's important to me to
he
find
does.
Out
he
about
He probes his innards.
So, yes, that was a little Molly Jean for you. Kiss me quick. And that's what Molly's going to say tonight.
Make it quick.
Which, you know what? I have no problem doing.
Well, then why is it every single time I say that? You just don't even listen to me.
I have feelings, honey.
Welcome back to Sex Show.
That's what it always ends up being.
This is my goal for the next year. At some point in the next year of shows, I want to do one show that
completely
nobody,
nude.
That nobody cusses and nobody says anything sexually inappropriate or racist.
I don't think that's going to happen.
You had it until racist.
Right.
That end of May rolls around. I always like to do resolutions like that, too.
Well, shall we tell them about the gambling?
Yes. When we're in Vegas, there's two things you do in Vegas.
Blue Man Group and?
Gambling.
Gamble.
Molly,
I am a self-admitted I enjoy gambling.
A gambaholic?
I'm a gambaholic. I enjoy gambling. I could probably take $500. I mean, if I had the money, I would probably take like $500 and know that, okay, I'm going to take this money and I'm probably going to lose it and be all right with that.
Hmm.
Do you think that it's hereditary? Because your sister likes to gamble. Your whole family loves to watch those lights and stuff, maybe? Or do you think it's just something
No, I don't think it's hereditary. Okay. I think it's just... It's just something that
you get a thrill.
Yeah,
you get a thrill. What kind of thrill?
Yeah, what kind of thrill do you get from playing a slot machine?
Compare it to another thrill that you get.
I don't know what I would compare it to.
Like a death by chocolate dessert.
I just like
a good finger banging.
I like the idea of the possibility that I could pull that slot machine. I could spend that extra. I could spend 75 cents and possibly never have to work a day in my life.
But once that's over, say you don't win, which I'm sure is the majority of the time.
Right.
What do you feel then? Do you feel anything? Do you feel like oh, it's a bummer, and the only way to get back up is to have that rush again? Is that what it is?
No, I can walk away. But it's
sorry.
It's one of those things where, like with Vegas, that's what you do. I mean, and we were there for 5 days, 4 days. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 4 days. We were there for 4 days, and I barely gambled.
I'll tell you what.
I barely gambled.
I had a buddy who used to live in Vegas, and I went to visit him. I didn't gamble 1 cent while I was out there. It does nothing for me. We have a casino locally. I'm not attracted to it at all. I feel like it's a very sad place, and Vegas amplifies that. While it's much more beautiful, and there's a ton to do out there, and it looks cool, that's all I did. I walked through the casinos. I walked outside and just took that all in. But I had no desire whatsoever to gamble. Blake, how do you feel about gambling?
I can take it or leave it. There's only a couple machines that I'll play because I don't understand the rest of them. And
so you play the machines and you don't do any card action.
No, I don't do it because I'm too nervous that I'll mess up and screw somebody else's hand up.
Okay.
For what
I do. There's a lot of like hand gestures, right, and tapping, and there's a whole verbiage that goes along. So you don't know that, and that's intimidating to you and also screwing up.
Yeah, and I
wouldn't know where to begin to start talking to a dealer and telling him this is what I want.
Right, like when I went and played, I went and put money down on the roulette table, mm-hmm. and like I stood there for 5 minutes with my chips, not just going like...
when do I jump in? What now? Now? Is it now? Now?
Now?
Now?
No,
now? Now? Is it now?
But like I said, I'll play a couple of machines, but they have to have like lots of bells and whistles. They have to have video. They have to have to really keep me, because I just don't find it interesting. And I would say the first day I won $60-some, not including the 20 that I put in. And then I used that to gamble for the next couple of days.
So it really went the distance.
And when I left the casinos, when I left Vegas to go to the airport, I had won enough to buy 2 packs of cigarettes and 2 Red Bulls, which was $28.
I feel like every person I talk to wins.
No.
No one admits that they
lost.
It wasn't because I
won because I was doing really well. I stopped when I was $5 ahead here or $5 ahead there, and I didn't use that money except, the profit I didn't use. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I asked at the airport. I asked my mom for $10, and I turned it into $35, and I gave her $10 back. And so I consider myself, if I broke even or was maybe ahead, $30. Molly, how much did you lose, roughly?
$140.
It was Blake's idea to talk about gambling. I feel if the tables were turned and he had lost $140 and you had gotten $25 ahead, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Right, and I don't know what you're glaring for.
I'm not glaring about anything.
Well, no, because that's seriously
They're
how much
turning the cable off next month.
I mean, but my issue was that I didn't even win enough to keep playing. It would be, I'd put $20 in, and it would just be gone. There was no, oh, hey, you want a little bit, you know, keep playing.
The machines gave you nothing.
Nothing.
Back.
I didn't win bonuses. There was one machine that I did okay on, but.
You lost $140 over what time period?
4 days.
4 days.
Because I had to ask him for money, and every time.
How much do you
oh,
think.
Oh, screw that shit.
How much do you think you would have lost if I would.
I would have lost like $500 because I would have taken it, and I probably would have lost it.
No, you just hit, did you hit the nickel slots? Is that what you were doing?
Pennies. I was just playing pennies. I think. I did play quarters on the very last day because it was like
You're trying to make up, maybe you know.
Yeah, because yeah. You're not going to win $140 back playing pennies.
Yeah. Well, I won yeah quite a bit. So let's talk about the sex. Let's put you in a better mood. Let's talk about after wedding sex.
This will put you in a great mood. Let's talk about your sex.
Right, because every bride likes to talk about sex.
We don't have to. We can play Factor Crap
this
instead.
This is a surprise to her when she read the show notes yeah. earlier. I,
yeah.
It's
I
a
mean,
good surprise, all right? It's like, so,
I mean, I that's know. Fine.
How many How many was it? Not thumbs up, but.
Well, I would say Back to the Future, the original one, got 2 thumbs up.
Yeah, thumbs. How many thumbs was how many thumbs was the sex?
The sex was good.
One huge
was good.
Thumb.
Good?
Like,
rocked your world.
Yeah.
I made you dizzy.
Did he rock the body that rocked the party?
Right. Yes. It was crazy. It was amazing. It was wonderful. It was beautiful. We made love.
Don't. Please. Come on.
All right.
We're trying to have... We have a standard here at the show.
Oh. All right. Factor crap.
We won't go that's it. Yeah.
Apparently, I had my cowboy boots on.
I felt like I was going to learn something. And we're not going to talk about it now?
Well, okay. we took the dress off. I was wearing the dress. Right.
I would have left it on. I think that would have been
There's no way I would have been able to find
he
the hole.
Been able to.
Because there was so much poofiness in this ruffles and stuff. That
poofiness of the dress.
Yes.
Okay.
Duh.
We're talking about trimming earlier. I didn't know what's going on.
He trimmed. Well, he wants it to look bigger, so he trims. And so I, at one point in time, we got the dress off, and I was sat down, and I was getting ready to take the boots off because I wore cowboy boots while I was getting married, and I looked at him. I said, "You want me to leave the boots on?" He goes, "Yeah."
That's awesome.
Boots on or off?
And her thong had my name on them.
Oh yeah.
Oh shit! Was it specially ordered, or did you iron that on?
No, our friends Tawny and Derek found them in Vegas, and so it was our little wedding present.
Was it? Was the name on the thong part of the ass of the crack?
No, it was on the front.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was on the front.
With a little diamond, cubic zirconia, probably.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think it was.
Very nice.
Yep.
So yeah, I rocked your world.
That sounds great. I feel like I was there.
Yeah.
All right, you guys ready to play a Factor Crap Vegas edition?
Yes.
It's been a long time since you two went head to head in a competition.
Do I go down?
I never win, so yes, I am ready to go down.
All right. You guys all know how to play. I'm going to say a statement. You tell me if it's fact or crap.
Are you going to put it out to both of us, or are you just going to go back and forth?
Back and forth.
Okay.
That's why I have 11 for a tiebreaker.
Well, that's so smart.
Yeah. Ladies first, or
no,
Molly?
Go ahead and let him have.
Please let me
nice.
Go first.
Okay. All right. Jason, first question, fact or crap?
Fact.
Prostitution is legal in Las Vegas.
Crap.
Crap is correct.
Yes.
It's only legal in Nevada in counties with a population less than 400,000.
What? What's the logic behind that?
The article said that like they made that law because they wanted it to be on the outskirts of everything. You know, Vegas was too big.
You had to travel for poon.
Right.
Okay.
Molly. In 1967, Howard Hughes bought 6 hotels in Vegas. Fact or crap? Do you know who Howard Hughes was?
No, I don't. Fact.
Wait, is that your final answer?
Sure.
It is a fact. He was staying at one hotel. He had been staying there for 15 days, and they said he had to leave. You know, he said, you've been here long enough, you have to leave. So he bought it, along with the Desert Inn, Castaways, the Landmark, the New Frontier,
Circus Circus?
The Sands and the Silver Slipper, which is significant. Oh, and the Silver Slipper, which signified the end of mob control of the city. Molly?
This had to have been a Howard Hughes sympathizer that wrote that article, because no hotel's going to kick you out after 15 days. Like, oh, you know what? We're good on your money, sir. Thank right. you. He did something. Well, this is a Howard Hughes sympathizer.
Okay. All right.
I'm going to get to the... You know what? End the game. We're going to get to the bottom of this shit right now.
All right, Jason. Fact or crap, Las Vegas is the birthplace of the atomic bomb.
Crap.
Very good.
Yes.
It did grow up there. Nevada test site has had over 100 above ground nuclear tests between 1952 and 1962.
Yeah, I know. I know all that. Thank you. That's why I got the answer right.
Hey, Molly, are you ready?
Sure.
There is one slot machine for every 2.5 residents of Las Vegas.
Crap.
Sorry, that is correct. That is a fact.
Oh, I was going to think that there was more slot machines for each.
Jason, ready?
Fact. I am ready.
Blake masturbated 7 times while in Las Vegas. Fact or crap?
Well, she didn't give it up. She, being Molly, and it, being intercourse. So I would say 7 seems high. I'm going to say it's crap.
That is correct. It is crap. It was only 5 times.
Okay. That sounds right.
You what?
There's a lot of public restrooms in Vegas.
He spent a lot of time in the room.
You think there's an app where you can?
Well, she was losing $140. That's why I didn't lose that much, because I just go up and whack off.
I think someone should create an app where you can bookmark where you beat off.
Yeah, that would. Don't say that again.
Where you can beat off.
Great. Now somebody's going to make it, and we're not going to make any money off of it.
What kind of ads do you think would pop up on that free app?
Oh.
Lube ads.
Or like any public restroom that has a lock on it.
Uh-huh. Molly, are you ready for your question?
Yeah.
In 1980, a hospital had to suspend employees for betting on when their patients would die. Fact or crap?
Fact.
That is a fact. Ooh, one nurse was even accused of murdering a patient.
Ah!
To win?
So she'd win. Yep.
Holy shit.
He's going to die anyway.
Right now it's 3-2 in favor of Jason. Yes. You really need Jason to get this next question wrong so you can get back in the hunt, honey.
Mm-hmm.
Get it wrong.
Okay.
85% of Nevada's land is owned by the federal government.
Fact.
That is fact. More yes. than any other state.
Yes.
4-2, Molly. You have to get everything right from here on out to be a winner.
No pressure.
Right. Okay.
Are you ready for the next question?
Sure, bring it on.
Bugsy Siegel. You know who that is?
The famous mobster. Guy, yeah.
Named his casino the Flamingo because it had his mother's favorite bird. That is complete crap. He named it after his long-legged showgirl girlfriend.
Oh.
Who happened to be a flamingo. Bugsy Siegel, infamous for fucking fowl.
Fucking fowl. Jason, this is pretty much to seal the deal here. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Over 1 million people visit Las Vegas each year.
Crap.
Oh, I read the question wrong.
Fact.
Over 100 million people visit Las Vegas each year.
Ooh. 100 million. That seems pretty high. I'm going to say crap.
That is correct. 39.7 million people.
Yes.
Molly, just for shits and giggles, because I wrote all these questions out, we'll give you the next one. The Moulin Rouge was the first racially integrated hotel in the city of Las Vegas. Fact or crap?
Crap.
Okay, that is a fact.
Jesus Christ.
Could you tell me when it opened? I'll give you 2 points.
1770?
Okay, think about it.
Just 6 years before we declared our independence from Britain. The Native Americans were way ahead of us.
They were way ahead of us.
Moulin Rouge. I thought that's a movie. I didn't realize there was a casino.
Jason, you want to take a stab at the year? That was the first casino to be integrated. That means they would let black people and white people in the same place.
Oh, okay.
Back when 17 whatever, we didn't even hate the black people then.
You know what?
They were good workers.
Throwing it out there.
When it was opened or when they started racially integrating?
No, it was just a racially integrated hotel.
But no, what's the date you want? You want the date for when it opened or when it became racially integrated?
When it opened, because that's when it opened.
It opened racially integrated.
Yes.
I will say 1957.
Close, 1955. That was pretty good.
No, thank you. Thank you.
Molly, we're going to go ahead and just give you this question because you've already lost.
Oh, all right.
Something weird is happening. I've never won. I feel like there's still a way that I could lose.
All right.
I am going to suck his dick later.
This one is...
I'll suck your dick too, brother. I'm going to win this.
This one is for 4 points. If you get this right, you win.
Oh, that's how that works.
I knew it.
God damn it.
Don't worry. I'm really bad at this
shit. The first hotel casino opened up in Las Vegas was the Golden Nugget. Fact or crap?
Fact.
That is crap. It was the Golden Gate Hotel and Casino in 1906, which you were standing right by.
No, I was standing next to the Golden Nugget.
You stood the Golden Gate Hotel was at the end where you know where Shannon kept watching those girls those dancing back and forth?
Yeah.
That was the Golden Gate.
Okay.
Now, before when we were going through the show notes, you got pissed off because I said you probably won't get very many of these right.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you got mad at me because I was like, well,
you know, you were rude about it. That's what I got mad at.
I've never been rude in my life.
Bullshit.
I'm so non-rude. Jason's going to tell us about the schedule of IBWP.
Wait a minute. You need to kind of make a bigger fucking deal about him winning.
Hey, good job.
I did it, everybody.
Just so you want a free haircut.
You don't like it?
When was the last time you got your hair
cut? Yeah, let's talk about your hair.
You know what? I do remember. I remember when I went to Portland.
Yeah.
I got a haircut about a week before that. So it was the end of October 2008.
Never mind.
End of October last year. And it's been like 6 months.
It's been more than six months.
Okay, let me tell you. The back is kind of growing on me. But isn't the top half making you a little crazy?
We could do a makeover next show if you want. We could have some hairstyling and... No? You're going to grow on that idea. You're going to love it.
I cut my hair off.
Yeah.
How long was your hair?
Oh, it was long. The front, the bangs went all the way past my eyeball.
That's about where I am right now.
Yeah, and it's just too much.
Yeah, but your ears feather.
Is that good or bad?
It's bad, honey.
That's bad?
Yeah.
I have split ends. I need some hot oil treatments.
What is it? VO5?
VO5 hot oil treatment.
Hey. Tell us about the schedule, Jason. We don't care about your fucking hair.
No, we're going to talk about my hair.
I care about his hair.
She wants to run her fingers through it.
Do you have any more questions? Which hair? Do your pubic hairs? Do you have any other questions for him regarding his hair?
It's auburn.
Do you?
Oh. No.
Are you like parting it on the one side and then combing it so it feathers? Or do you ever just rough it up?
Episode 134, featuring interview and performance by Joseph Huber, available as a podcast and a vidcast. Episode 135 is now available, featuring an interview with Call Me Bronco. And that's a podcast and a vidcast as well.
Yes, and Call Me Bronco posted, a member of Call Me Bronco posted the other day that, on their Facebook page that watch this and find out why Call Me Bronco should never do an interview. I thought it was good. They just didn't seem to like it, but it's good. And the Joseph Huber one also has him doing a song, or two songs, actually.
Nice. So. Check those out for sure. Available now. Episode 136 is the one we're doing right now. This will be available this Friday, May 30th. And episode 137 will feature an interview and performance by Graham Lindsay, available as a podcast and a vidcast on June 6th.
Yeah.
Also, please remember to submit your mystery tags and fan feedback to be read live, as well as your questions for upcoming artist interviews.
And if you're gonna send a voicemail, just make it clear to where I can understand what you're saying. That's pretty much all I ask.
That's pretty important.
It's not, you're not asking too much.
It's pertinent. It's pertinent to the joke. We can't make fun of you unless we understand you.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, that was a great episode. 7 years.
It was so good.
The other day I counted it, and I had done, I think, over 86 interviews with a total of like 86 interviews with a total of like 67 different artists.
That is seriously is something to be proud of. Congratulations. That's really cool.
Thank you. Dick jokes was like, I think, 1.5 million.
You went back and you counted all the dick jokes?
Yeah.
Criminy.
I got plenty of time. I'm married now. I can't do nothing. But thank you to everybody who listens. Molly, thank you for being on the show. Jason, thank you for being on the show
thank
as
you.
Well.
My pleasure.
Things are groovy. We're going to have sex.
No, we're not.
You said you're going to blow my mind. You said I'm going to blow your mind.
That was until you, and then you started being an asshole. So when you start,
I'm always an asshole. You, the last week since we've been married, you make it seem like I'm just all of a sudden have become an asshole. I've been an asshole my whole life. Ask my mother.
I know that.
Ask my two ex-wives.
I know that.
Ask Jason.
I know that.
Dude's an a-hole.
Nice.
I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be an asshole.
Yeah.
I think you just read me wrong.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Would you say that Jason is an asshole?
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe it's you then. Cause like,
it's possible.
Are you looking at the world through asshole-colored lenses?
It's possible.
Those asshole-covered glasses that I am looking through.
So let's listen to some actual music. This is a personal favorite of mine. This is Still Believe in Love by Sean K. Preston.
Significant because we walked out as husband and wife to this song.
No, actually, I walked into
the
song.
Oh, yeah, you walked into the song.
Yeah.
She came in the song. And I watched the video, and I see your sister-in-law makes a comment to your brother when the song starts playing.
So you should spend a lot of time thinking about
it. You should investigate. You should investigate that.
For anyone who's interested, Molly looked very beautiful on her wedding day. I saw the video as well.
Thank you.
How did I
look?
Molly looked very beautiful.
Well, I'm happy to be married, and now I don't live in sin.
Right.
So
still going to hell, but you know
who's going to hell?
You're going to hell.
Why would I be going to hell?
Lots of reasons.
What draws people to IBWIP is the same thing that draws people to blood pudding. Morbid curiosity. Good night, folks.
It's bruised and torn and bloody, but never quite gave up hope. If I still believe in love. But I do believe
could I do? It chose you. And now I'm asking if you'll take me as your man. Just say you will, just say I do. I still believe in love.
Are you a blogger or a podcaster? Or you're just not happy with your web hosts? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code, Section 8686, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. What do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs.